Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. He's back. He's back. How you doing, Pete? Where you been?
Outrageous. Now, I've got a bone to pick with you. When you were talking to Tokyo Lens last week on the show, you said that I was away. I was having a holiday. It was like, this had nothing to do with me wanting a holiday in the slightest, but I very much endorsed the last two shows. He is so good, and I love his voice. And I do like shows where you talk to other people on the podcast. I love listening to Sharla. I love listening to Tokyo Lens. It's really, really, really good stuff. So more of that in the future, hopefully. And I can have my beloved friend. Holiday.
Yes. He's got a nice voice. Rotter. I'm glad he picked up on that. Whenever I'm talking to Norm, he's got a kind of a baritone voice. And it's just soothing, isn't it? The old Toronto accent. What do you like about
it? I like his accent. I like his name, Norm. Norm. Has he given himself like Norman? Yeah, Norman, yeah. Has he got a Japanese second name or something, I think?
I don't know. Nakamura or something? Not even I know. Yeah. It keeps it under wraps.
No.
There everyone knows.
I Googled it. I put it in the synopsis. synopsis last week.
I just call him Norm Tokyo Lens or Tokyo Lens Norm, which he always finds really funny for some reason. Don't know why. but he was good.
Breath of
fresh
job.
Air. He's one of my only friends. It's good to get him on.
Chris.
Good to get him on. Did you enjoy your week off, though? Your rare escape from the podcast?
It's just nice to sort of listen to the podcast when I'm not on it. And I sort of go, oh, Chris is quite good, isn't he? When I'm having to do it with him, I'm like, oh, hate this Chris character.
Rubbish.
I can't stand him.
Absolute rubbish, isn't it? But it is the Christmas season. How are you feeling about Christmas? Are you excited? Are you happy?
Wholly underprepared. I'll level with you, Chris. I've had a busy few weeks. It works really sick. I don't know what it is about lockdown. I don't know what it is about working 3 days a week in a studio and then sort of coming home to spend the other two just at home. Days just seem to disappear. I don't know what's going on.
God.
Very, very weird. So, my workflow is I feel like it's a bit of a log jam. I just need to sort of, I need the blessed release of a few days off for Christmas, I think. But I've not done any Christmas shopping. If anyone's got any advice for cool things I should buy, let us know at Pete Donaldson on Twitter because I haven't got a bloody clue. I haven't even started, mate.
And I'm not coming over to the UK this Christmas. And I usually bring you some sort of gift, don't I? What did I bring you last year? Do you remember?
I got a little video game system, I seem to recall. I don't know where that is. That was a lovely little gift, that, wasn't it? On a keyring.
I don't remember.
I seem to recall that.
Was it the Pac-Man? Pac-Man?
Yes, little mini Pac-Man. Very, very
interesting.
Oh, yeah,
really small. Yeah, you've lost it.
Yeah,
that's
nice
good, isn't it?
Nice bit of kit. It's in the garage. Yeah. It's in the garage along with all of my automatons.
That garage must be buried in a lot of stuff. I hope you've got an advent calendar, though. Have you got some sort of Christmas advent calendar?
I have. I've got a Marks and Spencer's Percy Pig advent calendar, which I thought was going to be a Percy Pig every day. It's not. It's chocolate until you get to the last day, and then Percy Pig reveals himself in bag form. You just get a big bag of Percy Pigs.
Percy Pig reveals himself. Yeah. That sounds pretty unpleasant. That's horrible.
Gets his little paw scratching out.
Oh, dear God. I've got a, true to my nature, drinking coffee every day. I've got a coffee advent calendar for Nespresso. Each day.
Oh, like a pod every day.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea for you, you maniac. I've joined the cafetiere rat race, Chris. I've got involved with a bit of cafetiere action. I'm very much enjoying it. We got sent some free coffee, so I bought myself a cafetiere just for that, so I've been plunging through the Christmas blend at the moment.
Christmas blend. It's kind of a bit, all this talk of Christmas has got me sad though. For me, like, Christmas just isn't the same in Japan, right? It's always a bit of a letdown. Mm. I talked about this before, and it's my favourite time of year. So it's a bit rubbish not coming home this year. But I do have my coffee advent calendar, and I've just got a vanilla flavoured coffee. So that makes up for not seeing my friends and family or coming home this year. A capsule of vanilla coffee. Ah, I can't even get it out of the bloody fucking advent calendar. It's stuck in there. Who made this? Anyway, did you watch the latest episode of Journey Across Japan? British
theme park. I did indeed. It was very, very enjoyable indeed. And I cannot believe, I can believe, because I think you were due a viewing of Mount Fuji, because your awful luck when it comes to viewing that bloody mountain, Fujiyama, Fujisan. You've just been so lucky every time, and I'm so glad. Yeah, and once you saw it, you seem to see it all the time, which is very enjoyable.
Yeah, I was on a bullet train to Nagoya, of all places, the other day. And the train, obviously, in that direction, you go past it. And you never normally see it. It's in the clouds. It's gone. But this time, best view I've ever had, and the same week that we released this video. So, yeah, you're right. Once you've seen it once, damn thing won't disappear. It won't go away. So,
what business do you have in Nagoya? Because you've gone on record as saying it's a load of old rubbish.
A load of old rubbish. I mean, it's all right. It's there's not a whole lot there. After I slagged off Nagoya, we did get a lot of hate mail from the four foreigners that like Nagoya. I'm sure it's all right. It's just I was passing through it, actually. I didn't even stop there. I went to Takayama to do a little project to help put Takayama on the map with Tokyo Creative. And just walked around Takayama taking photos mainly. But yeah, I was in Nagoya for about 4 minutes, and the only thing I did was get some of the famous Nagoya chicken wings, which were pretty good to be fair. Other than that, delicious. In and out.
They when obviously Diego Maradona died last week, and I didn't actually know he was very, very close to signing for Nagoya Grand Bassett, but his drug convictions precluded him from actually arriving or coming to Japan. I think in the 2002 World Cup, I think he was in a so they didn't sign Diego Maradona. They signed Gary Lineker instead of Diego Maradona, which is a big step down. Even Gary Lineker would admit that. But he actually found it very difficult to get into the country to do the 2002 World Cup. I think the Mexican consulate had to sort of clear it with the Japanese. So lovely little sort of story from history, I suppose.
What could have been? Alternate history.
Yeah, I mean, Maradona, I mean,
in Nagoya, could have put the city on the map. He would, once and for all.
He could have raised it to the fucking ground, that lad.
But Gary Lineker did it instead. What did you think of the, for me, the highlight in the race recent episode was the British theme park with a rather sinister interpretation of Humpty Dumpty. What do you make of it?
I mean, the little buses and stuff you've got in the train station. I like that little kind of thing that you were doing with Dr. Jelly himself, trying to find pictures.
Jelly
of,
himself.
Trying to find pictures the things that look like you are actually in Britain. But I mean, just very, very strange indeed. I just like that big Humpty Dumpty kind of egg. Because Humpty Dumpty kind of doesn't, you don't see Humpty Dumpty that often. Is that quintessentially British? I can't figure it out.
You make him sound like a real person who's just walking down the streets of London.
Well, you just don't see representations of Humpty Dumpty very often.
You don't. And I didn't know what it was at first. I was like, oh, that's a horrible looking creature. Oh my God, it's Humpty Dumpty. One of the only things in the park that I got really excited about. It's a funny old place. Like, there was nobody there. I think it was because it was a weekday. There was the old COVID going
free
on.
Free flip flops.
With my flip flops, the fish flops. Yes, got some free fish flops and a shirt saying Debu Janai, I'm not fat. That was
unnecessary, I thought, from the man who owned the gift shop, giving you a I'm not fat t-shirt. That's not right, is it?
I love that he was like, there was like 10 or 15 different shirts. He just picked up the one saying I'm not fat and was like, oh, this one, this is perfect for you. I was like, oh, is it? Is it now? But like, there was one shirt, and you can see it in the frame, it says Star Wasabi. And it's like some sort of rip-off of Star Wars. And I filmed that because I thought, that's quite funny, Star Wasabi. It was written in the font of Star Wars. And he was like, don't film that. We don't want to get
done illegal
for copyright infringement. I was like, oh, all right. But well, somebody, I mean,
everything was so inaccurate in that England town that you would probably argue that he's never going to get done for anything, to be quite frank. UK Margaret at the pub, come on.
UK Margaret. Oh dear. I mean, what were they thinking? Somebody said maybe it's a reference to Margaret Thatcher, but we don't have pubs in the UK named after Margaret Thatcher, last time I checked.
No, they wouldn't last very long.
No, especially in the north. But yeah, it was interesting. What I was really impressed by was the 15-inch gorge railway, like a real working railway that goes off for like 20 minutes around the park. And I saw it like once the whole time I was there because it was off chugging around the park. To be fair, I don't know why we didn't get on it. That would have been the highlight of everything. But that's something to
there's a lovely shot in that video, and if no one's checked it out, I presume people have checked it out, but if you're not checked it out, do check it out, because there's a lovely moment where you go, I can't see the train anywhere, and it's in the background tootling around.
Of course it was. That'd be my next series, go back and watch the damn train I didn't see in person last time. But yeah, we'll have to take you there next time you're over, Pete. Come all the way to Japan to walk down a relatively mediocre interpretation of the UK. But fair play. It was an interesting experience, and I didn't.
Yeah.
But we even got a shout out. I only saw this afterwards. We got a shout out from YouTube itself. Like YouTube as a channel. I didn't know this. YouTube has an official YouTube channel with like 35 million subscribers. And they commented on the video saying, well done for seeing Mount Fuji. So seems somebody at YouTube was even watching. So I was pretty chuffed about that. That made it all come together.
You had one of the highest up of YouTube looking at your Fukushima documentary, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been a weird week. I don't know if people in YouTube somewhere in Palo Alto or California have been sitting around watching Abroad in Japan or something. But yeah, Susan Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube, did a, like on Twitter, she read an article about Abroad in Japan in the Mainichi Japanese newspaper that covered the Fukushima, I think the tsunami documentary I did in earlier this year. And she shouted out the channel. So that was pretty cool. It's not every day the CEO of YouTube does that. That's my minor celebrity famous shout out of the year. I had Bryan Cranston 2 years ago, thanks to you. Dwayne The Rock Johnson last year. This year, Susan Wojcicki. So
it's been a weird year, hasn't it?
The bar gets higher every year.
Yeah.
Who are we going to get next year, Pete? Who are we going to get?
Oh, I don't know. Probably God will come down or something.
God.
The Japanese have just returned to Earth with a payload of asteroid dirt. That's going to be crashing down to Earth pretty soon. So maybe, you know, an alien might come down and shout out alien. Your amazing channel. Speaking of Mainichi, the newspaper, it's one of my favourite little terms in Japanese, speedy Japanese, Mainichi, every day. Is that each day, every day? Yeah, every day.
Every day.
That's an enjoyable Mainichi.
Is that your comment on Mainichi? I thought it was some sort of powerful emotional story there, but no, I like the word.
No, just like it. Just like it. Because I do my biru onomimasu, Mainichi biru onomimasu. I drink beer every day.
Advanced Japanese with Pete there, and that, to be fair, that is a useful phrase. People will laugh, and you might get a free beer.
They will.
So
they
say
will.
That.
Yeah.
Mainichi biru nomimasu. We got our story of the week now from Matt from the exotic land of Texas, and it's a story of pain, suffering, and violence. And it begins. Good afternoon, Pastor Pete, and Constable Chris. It's gets weirder every week. I'm a long-time viewer of the channel, and I've been listening for the past year. Chris, your video inspired me to go to Japan after graduating university, and that led to this story. It took a while to have my friend approve of me telling the story. Took a while? After graduating college in May 2019 and becoming an engineer officer in the army, a good friend and I decided to take a trip to Japan to celebrate the start of our military careers. On the fourth night of our trip, we were in Golden Guy in Shinjuku, bouncing around small bars. We stumbled into a bar where we met with a few small tables in a dim-lit bar. As the night went on and mugs were emptied, some locals started trying to talk to us. Eventually, some drunk men, probably in their 20s or 30s, decided they wanted to challenge us to some arm wrestling. Of course they did.
Arse wrestling, you should have said that.
Shut up.
Arse wrestling.
Arm wrestling. Being army boys, we could not turn down some friendly challenges. We indulged and began arm wrestling over and over. Stories, man. Keep in mind, we are by no means small men. I'm 5'10" and 210 pounds, and my travel companion is 6'3" and 230 pounds. Needless to say, we didn't lose a match. Surrounded by locals and cheers, it was a great time. And I stood up for a brief moment at my small table because my head was spinning so much from all the beer and sake. As I stepped out of the bar for some fresh air, I heard the cheers of arm wrestling followed by silence and then muttering. Confused, I turned around to see that my dear friend was arm wrestling a larger local man. Everyone around them looked shocked and stunned. I got closer to realise the man's arm had broken mid-arm in the wrestling match. Oh dear. Oh God. I swooped in and grabbed my friend and tried to get him to let go of the injured man and get help. Unaware of what he had done, this monster of a human acted like a child who didn't want to leave his friend's house and refused to let go. I eventually got him to release. I left behind 7,000 yen, about $70, and we promptly left. In the back of my head, I began to think about the podcast episode where you talked about the 99% conviction rate in Japan. Fearing Japanese prison in my drunken state, we decided it would be best to put distance between ourselves and the bar. Drunk and running through the streets of Shinjuku will be a moment I will never forget. The adrenaline and panic led us to take shelter in a karaoke bar. I hope the man got the help he needed. My friend still feels terrible about it today and thinks he's a wanted man in Tokyo. My question is, what would you guys do in a situation like this? Can injuring a Japanese local in an arm wrestling match get you arrested? Thank you for the videos and podcasts, guys. Stay healthy. Stay the best. Take care. Matt from Texas and his violent friend snapping the arms of Japanese men. What do you make of that, Pete? Violence.
I mean, I couldn't possibly... I couldn't possibly leave with a man with a broken arm, for crying out loud. Oh my word. But you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing.
Live by the sword, die by the broken arm. I mean that is just the idea of this man's arm like hanging off, and he's just, all he wanted was a bit of fun, a bit of arm wrestling, which we've said in the past is pretty common in Japan, right? Like, you do it quite a bit here with strangers. I don't know why, something to do with masculinity, but you've never had to do it, have you? You've escaped the arm wrestling.
I've escaped the arm wrestling, no. I've played a few rounds of Pop-Up Pirate, which seems to be the obsession of the Japanese pub goer, but yeah, nothing as competitive as arm wrestling. You don't need to see. I've got a dodgy elbow anyway. It'll probably explode if I tried it.
One step further than a broken arm, an exploding arm. What would you do in a situation like this, Pete? Do you think you can get arrested for this? Is it a crime to break someone's arm?
It all depends on how the crime is reported, or the lack of crime is reported to the police. There's not a lot of CCTV in bars, so you'd sort of assume that you couldn't really prove that you didn't just come in and break a man's arm, but it would be very unlikely. Thinking about it, I'm a very diminutive man at 5'8", and I think that if I was a hulking great monster, I would probably leg it as well. I'd Godzilla the fuck out of there. Get back to the sea. Didn't see nothing. I don't think people would. I think you'd be judged harshly, I think, yeah.
I think maybe the 7,000 yen, the $70, maybe that handled the healthcare costs. And it must, to be fair, that would have cost a fair chunk of money, because in Japan, you've got insurance, it covers 80%, but the last 20% you've got to cover yourself. So that poor man, just to make you feel even more guilty, Matt from Texas, he probably had to spend a fair chunk of that week's paycheck getting his arm stitched up or reattached back on by the sounds of things. Bloody hell. Scary stuff. The one thing to take away from this, ladies and gentlemen, be careful. Don't ever do arm wrestling with rough, tough American servicemen or women or anyone from the army. Don't do arm wrestling with them for the love of God. But thank you, Matt, for that story. And I hope your friend doesn't feel too guilty. To be fair, they had it coming. They asked for that arm wrestling match. They had it coming. Complete different detour now to news of the week. And what I remember earlier on this article, I talked about how I give you Christmas presents every year, Pete, that are very good. And I don't think in the 3 years I've known you, you've given me any present. Any time.
I'm busy. I brought you cider to Japan. Oh, yeah, you did. Stole it. Keita Yano stole it.
You brought me cider and then you gave it away. I suppose it was a thought that came.
Like last Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my cider, but the very next day, Pete fucking gave it to the hotel owner who wanted it as a gift.
Yep.
Doesn't have much ring to it, does it? But like, I remember 2 years ago, I did bring you some Kit Kats, did I not? Or am I making that up?
I think you brought a selection of Kit Kats, a selection box, right, so to speak. All kinds of different flavours. Sakura and others.
Cherry blossom flavour. Yeah. Kit Kats, big business in Japan. For those of you that don't know, Kit Kats in Japan are seen as a gourmet chocolate dish. I don't know how this has happened. I know Kitokatsu means to surely win, and so they're seen as a good luck charm in Japan. But somehow, Nestle have decided over the years to turn Kit Kat into a premium brand. And 2 years ago, I remember I was near the Kit Kat chocolate, I can't even say that word, chocolatory, like a patisserie with these like extreme Kit Kat flavors, like cherry blossom and sake flavor. And I must have spent it's about 10,000 yen, about $100, £100 on Kit Kats of exotic flavors to bring to my friends and family back home. And to be fair, they were impressed, even if it was a little bit sad spending that much money on Kit Kats. But if you haven't seen them, ladies and gentlemen, they are good, aren't they, Pete? They are look very decadent, not normal Kit Kats.
They are good. I don't know what it is about Kit Kats that they're so decadent. Is it because they used to come in foil packets with a kind of paper around it? Was that part of it? The ceremony of opening it is very kind of beautiful, breaking the seal, so to speak. There's a bit of ceremony to it. I think maybe there might have been something to that. I don't know. It's like going to like a bizarro world version of Kit Kat, because you just have so many different kinds of flavors that you wouldn't get over here. And you're like, oh, what's this? Japan truly is another world. And there's a new flavor.
Another one, Pete. Another one. And it's the most exotic so far. It is whiskey barrel aged Kit Kats from the island of Isla in Scotland, where a lot of the best whiskey in the world comes from. Mm. And it's whiskey that has been aged for 180 days. I don't know how they've done this, but it's actually one of the few Kit Kat products to be said to be originally labeled as being from the UK. So it's actually used real whiskey from Isla in Scotland. And it looks rather good. Now, I'm not a big whiskey drinker, but I'd be tempted to try it. What do you reckon? Your kind of thing? Ticks the boxes?
Definitely. I mean, I would quite actually like to taste the whiskey that comes out of it afterwards as well. I'd like to go on the whiskey, please. But yeah, I mean, I would say it's a bit weird to sort of get all the whiskey. I mean, I guess it's an exotic product for Japan, so taking it to Sapporo and putting it in some kind of Nikka whiskey barrel or something is probably not that exotic. So yeah, it just seems like a lot. The carbon footprint seems quite lengthy for a common or garden bit of chocolate in it. but the box is very nice.
Certainly is. They've it's done. Apparently, they do it by mixing cacao nibs aged for 180 days in barrels once used for aging whiskey, and manually rotating once a week to ensure all cacao nibs inside come into contact with the barrel, and it gives it a delicate aroma and taste of whiskey that adults can enjoy. Sounds pretty good. Only in winter, though. Yeah. So it's only for winter. Only a winter batch available in December at seven of Japan's Kit Kat chocolatery boutiques across Japan. How much do you think it costs for one stick in a box of this decadent whiskey barrel aged?
Is it normal size stick?
Is it
a normal size Kit Kat finger? Right. Right.
I think that
will be £7.
It is 300 yen, which is $2.88. £2.50. So
not bad. That's not bad, actually. Yeah. For a premium little kind of nonsense to give to your gran.
Premium little
your
nonsense.
Orbison or whatever.
Premium little nonsense. If I was coming home this year, my friends and family would have been gifted with this decadent whiskey barrel aged Kit Kats. But alas, they're going to get nothing. I don't know what to get them now.
No, well, never mind. Never mind.
But there you go. Good old Kit Kats. Every year they think up something new. Now we've got to wait one more year for the next batch.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your Elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham without reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yes, Santa Claus.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Merry Christmas!
We now turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
We've got a message from, I don't think we've... Oh, yes, we have Chris from Germany. Good dear Lord Pete. Sorry, there's a van reversing outside the studio, so to speak. Good dear Lord Pete and Master Chris. I am currently re-listening to all the podcasts, and I just listened to you talking about the billionaire Yusaku Miyazawa being blasted into space by SpaceX. And it's at this point I wondered, are there any common Western names which could sound offensive in Japan when pronounced in Japanese? And should a person with these names think about nicknames beforehand? I'm glad I don't have to worry about this. Chris from Germany. P.S. I'm sorry, Chris, but risotto is right and German sausages taste way better. I agree.
I'm not sure I agree with that. This is a part of the ongoing debate Riotta and I have every time we meet up.
Do you ever have like a Hermansy German when you come to England? The German sausages you get. It's like a little kind of curryverst curryverst shops that sell. It's like tomato sauce with curry powder on top. On chips and, well, fries and some just sliced up sausages. It is flipping great.
That does sound pretty good. I mean, German sausages are bloody good. It's just part of a little debate Riotta and I have. Because Riotto's lived in every country in the world at some point. He lived in Seattle, then London, then Dusseldorf. And he loves German sausages more than British sausages. And it's been a point of contention for many years, though his favorite place that he's lived is Sydney in Australia. So if you're an Australian listener, well done, you've won the game of Riotta. This is a tough one, and the good old Yusaku Maezawa, we talked about him a while back. I think he spent something like $100 million, didn't he, to book five or six seats on a SpaceX rocket around the moon in 2025. Do you remember this? It was a big story.
I think, did we speak about it quite recently? Because it was an update. There was an update or something. He's a very interesting looking chap.
He's an interesting chap. He used to own, I think, Zozo Town, this clothing retailer that I've never heard of. I don't know anyone that uses it, but nevertheless, he sold it for billions. He's a very rich man. And he spent his money wisely to go on a rocket around the moon, which I still wonder if it was real or if it was a publicity stunt. But he's a pretty prolific chap, and he's got his own YouTube channel recently. I saw a video of him like in the back of a really nice car and then getting in a Learjet, his own private jet, and just like vlogging it, and I thought, wow, that's like next level vlogging, isn't it? He seems quite charismatic. Don't know if he'll be going anytime soon, but he's definitely cashed in on his name, Yusaku Maezawa. And to be fair, I don't think I've ever heard the name Yusuk outside of him. But his Twitter, last time I checked it, his Twitter is Yusuk2020 is his name. And he's not changed it. I'm looking at it now.
Right.
Yusuk2020.
The last trip I went to Japan, I was with a guy, I think I spoke about this before, called Shine, which is, of course, if you say it like a Japanese person, if you read it out as a Japanese person, Shine, which is die on death or whatever. It's not a pleasant name to have.
Oh boy.
Dave Death here.
Dave Death. I I think I remember why we talked about You Suck My Zower. He did a tweet that was the most retweeted tweet in history. Mm. And he was one of these tweets where they give away money. Retweet this tweet and I'll give you like 10 grand or something.
Right.
Which is the secret. And it seems to work. He's got 10 million followers now. So
You see it quite a lot with like influencers and stuff who've got a bit of cash behind them. They'll give away a car or something and, you know, mm. people will retweet and follow and stuff. So it's probably quite a cost-effective way of getting absolutely stellar followers and actual real followers rather than bots.
It is, yeah. It does seem to work. We should do it on this podcast. We'll give away £5.50 and a chair and a Kit Kat.
A Kit Kat, yeah.
Chit-chat. going back to the question, though, Chris from Germany, I can't think of any names. The only thing I do remember was in You Only Live Twice, the James Bond film, 1967, Sean Connery. There's a Japanese woman in that called Kissy Suzuki. But I don't think that's a real name either.
No, it's a classic Bond name. They just made that up for a gig, yeah.
Kitty Suzuki. We've got one here from John. It says, hello, Chris and Pete. No, he doesn't. He says, hello, Chris in Pete. That is rather...
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
Upsetting.
I wish I'd stuck with the original.
Or arousing.
The complete opposite of arousing. Last week...
I've earned my Kit Kat.
Shut up. Last week, you were talking about crime in Japan. While this one isn't on the extreme end, it definitely can be categorized as silly. While we were walking about our Airbnb on the way to the station, mm-hmm. one of the drinks machines had a picture on it and a note on it. After some quick Google Translate, which we used, it seemed that there were some older gentlemen going around the area putting leaves in the bill slot where you put the money in the drinks machine. Preposterous. We thought it was pretty comical. The type of street crimes in Japan in comparison to what we see in Canada. Ridiculous. Cheers from John. Good God, that is
vandalism.
Why would someone do that? Leaves in a bill slot.
Well, I guess it would ruin the machine. Maybe someone's got a vendetta against the vending machine owner.
Terrorism of the highest order. Trying to think of anything off the top of my head where we've seen that before. There's a lot of signs telling you how to use toilets in Japan, but I think that's, I don't know why that is. Have you ever gone into a toilet and seen a sign saying, like, just telling you how to use a toilet? And then almost...
Yeah, like people who use like those kind of, those seated, not seated ones, the ones that are on the, like, the floor. They have like those pictures sort of saying, don't stand on the toilet bowl for a Western toilet.
Yeah, it can seem condescending. Like you'll go in the toilet and next to the seat, next to the toilet, there's a little drawing with someone standing on the toilet, squatting, a big cross saying, don't do this. Do people really do that, do you think? I think it's aimed at China and Southeast Asian countries that use a kind of more traditional system, but I'm sure they don't do that. I'm sure they must know how a Western toilet's used, but...
Yeah,
know,
maybe
it
it's for older people. Yeah, maybe it's just for older people.
But what is worse, a drinks machine that's been jammed by a leaf that an old man's put in there, or someone improperly using a Western toilet? You decide.
Yeah.
What a weird man. What a weird man. Maxwell Miles, I'll leave it to you, Pete.
All right. Maxwell Miles Candlin. Sup, my guys. I was listening to your most recent episode as of writing with Norm from Tokyo Lens. And a thought occurred to me. Norm was talking about how long he'd lived in Japan. And it reminded me of a video I saw about Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is no longer fluent in his native language of Austrian German because he's been living and working in the United States for so long. Obviously, you all retain native speaker levels of speech, but have you or anybody you know noticed an atrophy in your English speaking skills as a result of not being exposed to it quite as much? Do you ever find yourself fishing for a word that you can't quite remember? I'd be very interested to know. Thank you for taking the time to answer. I'm an avid fan and I'm looking forward to hearing back Maxwell Miles Candlin. Canned out.
Yeah. That's a good question. I think I'm not so bad now because I do spend a lot of my time with other folks that speak English. But certainly in my first 3 years when I was at that high school working and I didn't see like foreigners for days at some point, and it was just me surrounded by 1,200 Japanese students and 100 teachers all speaking Japanese.
Yeah,
it was good. It was nice and immersive. It got my level up quickly. But yeah, I noticed after about 2 years, there was a real impact. Like I couldn't speak English words. I couldn't, just words wouldn't come to me, like inconsequential. If I needed that word, I'd be like, what's that word? Oh, yeah, inconsequential. It'd just be difficult. It wouldn't come out. I don't know why that word specifically. I don't know what scenario required the word inconsequential, but it was there. But no, it does happen. It is a weird thing to start to lose your native language, but I got it back.
Is it a bit weird that I also lose my native language, but I've only got my native language?
You're from Hartlepool, mate. Upsetting. You're from Hartlepool.
Yeah, true.
It's a special language, up there. but no, you will find it, Maxwell. You will find it, depending on your situation. And it's a strange thing, but a fun experience. It's not something you get to experience very often. But I got it back just by virtue of talking to Pete Donaldson on this podcast every week. That has got my English back to where it once was, and with some new interesting vocabulary thrown in, including why I man. I like that. That's the extent of it. It's basically all I've learned. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again on the next podcast, which is on Sunday, right, Pete?
It is, yes.
There you
go.
I'm
going to be back.
I definitely knew that. I knew that. I was fishing for that. Fuck yeah. But until then, guys, enjoy the rest of your week and we'll see you then. Have a good one.
Production. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah. You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.